The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host here, Nathan Gladwell and Gray Oldenburg. Before we get into some college basketball and college football transfer portal stuff, and the NFL draft, which is coming out this week, I have a good story I found for Nathan because I know he lives for these food stories I bring to the show every once in a while. I know it's a little bit out of date. It happened April 19th and April 20th in 2024 at Carl's Jr. locations in Palm Springs. But Nathan, if this were to come to the Birmingham area at a Hardee's, it is an avocado shake at Hardee's. Would you be interested in trying this?
Is this really what you made me wait a whole week for?
Yeah, I did. It includes real avocados, real milk, hand scooped vanilla ice cream, and whipped topping.
What is wrong with you?
Disgusting.
Is this what you look for every day? Is this what you go through and just scroll through the news? Let's find the most disgusting food items that I can put on the show to ask Nathan about. Because you know he definitely will not try them and that they are awful. Because, Alex, I know for sure you're not eating them. You didn't put them on the show because you wanted to eat them.
I did try the Shamrock Shakes.
Wow. Real step out in the world there, Alex. Pretty sure
which was also wrong.
It was very bad. So Nathan, no on the avocado shake at Carl's Jr.
No, Alex. Of course.
No, absolutely not. Yes.
What about the Dr. Pepper beef jerky coming out? Would you try that?
I didn't even know that was a thing. I don't know. Probably not. That doesn't sound very appetizing.
Even though it is Dr. Pepper and you love Dr. Pepper?
That's just even though it is
Dr. Don't
Pepper,
go together.
Yeah. It's a completely different thing.
Like avocado and a milkshake?
Yeah.
All right. Got my good laugh at it today, but I'm pretty sure we'll have a laugh here in a few minutes. Let's talk about Alabama football and basketball transfer portal news here. Starting with the football, you have kicker Graham Nicholson from Miami of Ohio transferring in to the University of Alabama to replace NCAA's all-time point leader and Will Riker from last season, who is in the NFL draft this upcoming 2024 draft. Nathan, what are your thoughts on Kalen DeBoer going out and getting Nicholson to come in and replace Riker instead of rolling with the guys already on the roster like Connor Talty?
I think the main thing was after the spring game, he kind of realized that there wasn't one person that stuck out, like you said, when we went over the spring game, and he decided to fill that hole, and he got the best person available in all college football. And it took me by surprise. I don't think I was expecting it to happen. I thought we would end up rolling with the guy in Talty. But this is a great surprise. Graham Nicholson, I mean, coming off a Lou Groza award-winning season and replacing guy in Will Riker, which I believe he was the runner-up.
Should have won it, in my opinion.
We can go back and forth, but both are stellar kickers and it's at least another year that Alabama doesn't have to worry about kicker problems. So I think at the end of the day, everyone can agree this is a huge pickup.
Gray, is he better than Towns
McGee? McPherson has missed a kick in college. So that guy has. I think he's missed one. He missed one last season. It was like a 55 yarder. I think the biggest thing here is DeBoer understanding the need and going out and getting the best player from this past season to address that need out of the transfer portal. I think that's the biggest thing possible because you have a new coach, you're going to get transfers in. Obviously you're going to have transfers go out, but he needs to assess the needs that he needs to have success for his first season in Alabama. I think kicker was at the top, if not close to the top of that list with what we saw during the spring game, what he saw during spring practice. So, and he went out and got the top guy for it.
Yeah. I think it's a great pickup getting the Lou Groza award winner. I mean, you couldn't have got any better. So I think it's a great pickup for DeBoer. It'll address the big need of the kicking position because as me, Nathan, and us Alabama fans, outside of Riker's run, it has been pretty bad for a long, long time.
Suffering. Straight suffering.
let's move on to some college basketball here with Alabama. You had Sam Walters today on a Monday say he's going to transfer to Michigan to play under Dusty May there. So good luck for Sam. Hope he does great things up in Ann Arbor. And Mark Sears declared for the NBA draft, but did maintain his college eligibility. Nathan, any thoughts on both either of those guys? And do you think Mark Sears comes back?
Yeah, I'll start with Sam. He's a young kid, and for what I saw from him last season, in certain moments there were I saw a potential in his game, but for the majority of the season, I felt like he was not really in the offense. He kind of put himself in situations that he didn't need to be in. Wasn't the best defender. And then when it came time for him to be the spot up shooter that natives needed him to be, he wasn't near as efficient as natives probably wanted him to be. And I think that just comes with the change of pace of play from high school ball going into college, a lot better defenders as well. So I think that was the main difference for Sam. But for him to get to a university like Michigan, I think they can probably develop him a little bit more, because I don't think he would have gotten a lot of playing time or an increase in playing time if he would have stuck around this past season. Even though I think he got a good amount of playing time for the most part in the 2023 season. It just, with the loaded roster coming in and what Nato's just done through the transfer portal, it just was not looking likely he was going to get the same amount of minutes he was expecting to get. But so I wish him the best. I think that he will be a great player eventually. There's just a lot of raw aspects to his game that need to be perfected.
Anything about Mark Sears and him coming back?
Man, I love Mark Sears, and I think I go back to last year when we lost Charles Bediako to the NBA draft. I know it's not completely similar because Charles Bediako wasn't this elite player that just willed a team to a Final Four. But for the most part, you look at certain mock drafts for the NBA draft upcoming, and Mark Sears isn't even listed as being taken in the second round. And there are a few that have moved him up, but for the most part, it's not looking likely that he will be taking off the board anytime soon. I don't know if that it's just with scouts looking at his defense or and where he needs to improve in that sense, or if there are certain things they've noticed about his offense that he needs to change in order to be NBA ready. I think he could be NBA ready, but a lot of teams are not showing a lot of interest. So in that case, you have NIL in place now. You have a roster spot open for him. He should come back. And I mean, that if he comes back, that would be a huge get for Alabama, knowing that they still have a veteran point guard that can get them back to where they were last season and maybe get them further in the tournament.
Gray, what do you think is holding scouts back from saying, hey, Mark Sears, you're a first round pick, considering this is one of the weaker draft classes we've seen in probably a decade or since Anthony Bennett's draft?
Yeah. I think it's weird. I obviously think it's his size. Normally when people go and test out the waters like that, like Mark Sears is doing, maintaining his college eligibility, but declaring for the draft, normally it's to go see what scouts say on what you need to work on, what you need to change, what you need to do with your body, that sort of thing. I think the biggest thing for Sears that scouts are that the reason he's not in the first round or even in the second round in some draft and mock drafts, he can't change. He can't get taller. He can't grow to 6'4", 6'5". If this dude was 6'4", to 6'5", he'd be the premier number one pick, and no question. So I really related to a Sharif Cooper situation. He's got all the talent in the world, especially offensively. He's improved very much on the defensive end. He's veteran led. He's a leader in the locker room. He's a great kid. I don't understand what's holding NBA scouts back. It's obviously his size, but then I look at comparison, and obviously the easy comparison for Jalen or for Mark Sears is Jalen Brunson, the point guard for the New York Knicks. Looks exactly like him, plays exactly like him. The lefty shooter who's very, very good at creating his own shot. He's a great passer, very refined on the offensive end. I actually think Sears is better than Jalen Brunson was coming out of Villanova. I don't understand what's holding them back. I think he is NBA ready.
You would think, considering he's playing in the NATO's offense and the clippy shoots a three-pointer, you'd be like, okay, yeah, I want this guy on my team. He's a point guard that can shoot, facilitate, rebound. Mm-hmm. He's an underrated rebounder, kind of similar to a guy like Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. His defense, I think, is much improved than when it was when he got to Alabama. He's not going to be the Lou Dort, going to guard the best player on the court, but I think he can guard a Jalen Brunson, another team's point guard, or sort of play off the ball and guard the weaker guard position. So, like both of you, I don't know why scouts are saying no to Mark Sears. If it's just his size, I really do not understand that. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about size here, then Jalen Brunson shouldn't be playing basketball. Miles McBride for the Knicks, who just went off against the Sixers in game one, shouldn't be playing. I mean, there's a bunch of shorter guys in the NBA right now that are lighting it up. But if we don't give Mark, if they don't give Mark Sears a chance because he's not 6'5", 6'4", they're missing out on a big opportunity to have a guard that can, I think he could be a starting guard in the NBA, and if not, be a good sixth man. But with the drafts not really having him in the first or second round, I do expect Mark Sears to come back with the NIL and him getting that type of money. If we were sitting here before the NIL was a thing, I'd be saying, yeah, Mark Sears, it's a foregone conclusion. He's probably going to go to the NBA so he can make his money. But NIL has made these decisions a lot more difficult going forward.
True.
All right. I think this is going to be the biggest story on the show today. Alabama did get a transfer in here, being Auburn point guard Aiden Holloway. Nathan Gray, I'll just let you all go and take this away here, because I know both of y'all have pretty much differing opinions on Aiden Holloway right now.
Which one of us do you want to start?
I don't know. I think Gray has a good opinion of Aiden Holloway. He got to see him a lot more than we did last season, Nathan.
That's true. I watched this kid throughout high school, watched him a lot because he committed before his senior year. So I watched him a lot at Prolific Prep. He was on TV a lot. His team was really good. They went like 31-3 in high school, watched him in the McDonald's All-American game, and then watched him all year at Auburn. And when he entered the portal, it sounded like it was, Bruce wanted to improve the point guard position. He wanted Aiden back, but it never met with Aiden. Aiden was actually the only player after the Yale game who never showed up at the basketball facility. Every other one did, including Katie Johnson and Trey Donaldson, who are also in the portal. Here is my, he's going to Alabama. That okay. I have no issue with him going to Alabama. My issue comes when he bashed the coaching staff and Bruce Pearl after he commits to Alabama.
I have the quote right here if you may read for you, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. He got sold a dream by our coach. Yeah, so did we. We got sold a dream of you making shots in the tournament. We got sold a dream of you making wide open layups or being a competent defender. considering he was dead last in Auburn primary players, 11 players. This is including Leor Berman, dead last in all of these categories. True shooting percentage, efficiency field goal percentage, three-point percentage, offensive rating, and defensive rating. Stop blaming your head coach because you can't finish at the rim or make a wide-open three. And then he has the audacity to say that, yeah, I got sold a dream because they went in a different direction with the offense. Oh, my God. You're 0 for 18 in your last threes, and we have an All-American center and a fifth-year All-SEC power forward who are averaging almost 20 each. Of course we're going to go in a different direction. We want to win basketball games, lunatic. Are you crazy? Look, you're getting a head case. You're getting a pot smoker. Apparently he showed up to practice high all the time, which is why Trey Donaldson actually had to go back in the starting lineup late in the year. That was unreleased until now. You're getting a guy who is number three on the team in field goals attempted, number two in usage rate, only behind Broom, and number one in three-pointers attempted by 50 more three-pointers attempted than anybody else, yet he shot 25% in SEC play, 30% on the year, dead last. Look, we improved. I don't care, but don't bash your old coach like that. He's a good player. I hope he has success, but don't bash your old coach like that. That was a bunch of crap.
Nathan?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just sitting here enjoying it.
Well, I didn't speak anything but facts.
Look, I'm going to go.
I didn't say my opinion.
Okay, Gray, let me get to talking here.
I'm just saying.
Okay, so look, Aiden Holloway. Like, I watched him at the beginning of the year and what he was able to do at Auburn. I really liked the way he was able to play early on the season. It felt like he had a lot of confidence. And then it's like this switch flipped whenever he wasn't making shots that he usually made. And I think that goes back to shot creation, shot selection. Those being two of the biggest things. And then he was... I felt like that translated to his defense. He didn't play hard defense because he would focus so much on the offensive end, on his missed shots. Look, this is college basketball. You got to move on to the next play. You're going to miss shots. And you're going to make mistakes. What matters is the next play. So for Aiden Holloway to have success, he needs to get his confidence back. I think the system that Bruce Pearl has in place at Auburn is not beneficial to the style of basketball that Aiden Holloway plays overall at this current moment in time. At this moment in time,
I disagree.
Look, y'all use bigger centers
because we have a big center that's an all American.
That's the style of play that y'all have had for the past few years, and that's the way y'all have attacked. Y'all haven't relied on guard play as heavily as a team like Alabama has. Alabama has consistently had guards like this come in and shoot numerous amounts of threes and develop their three game over time. But what Auburn wants to do is go ahead and run the inside game. There's no problem with that. That's just what y'all have done. And that's not beneficial to a guy like Aiden Holloway's development. Aiden Holloway wants to be able to shoot shots from the outside and work on a three ball. And that's one of the reasons he committed, because he was not getting the playing time anymore and he needs to be able to develop a shot. But if he's showing up to practice like that, I don't know. I haven't read through stories like that, then that's unacceptable. But again, that goes back to him, and he needs to get that right. And I'm sure Natives is not going to tolerate that. But overall, I felt like the system that Alabama has in place right now is more beneficial to Aiden Holloway's style of game overall. I could not tell you where he's going to be when we go ahead and start next season. I don't know how far his development will be, how far along. And really, it also depends on if Mark Sears comes back, because we already have a pretty deep roster. We got Houston Mellett through the transfer portal from Pepperdine. He's very, very good. You got Chris Youngblood coming in. So it's hard to pinpoint where Aiden Holloway is going to be on this roster. But Nate just went and got him for a reason. He wasn't just going and using up roster spots and scholarship spots. So I think he sees something in Aiden Holloway to want to develop a kid like that, even though Aiden Holloway didn't have a great season last year.
I would point out Bruce and Nader's system are not that different. Both want to run. Both want to shoot. That's when both of them were successful. Alabama's had success last year. When Auburn was successful, it was when they ran and shot. In 2019 and 2020 and 2021. That's when they had success. When Auburn ran the run and shoot system this season, Aiden Holloway was at his absolute worst. That's when his confidence dropped. His play was best when he was driving and dishing and getting it to those big guys and using them and running the offense through Broome and Jalen and Dylan and Chaney and even Baker Mazar and Denver Jones. That's what I'm worried about him going to Alabama for. Because especially if Mark Sears comes back, which I do believe he does, I don't see where he fits in there at all in the offense or the defense. He's the worst defensive player on our team last year. Credit, we were the third best defensive team in college basketball at the end of the season. But he was by far the worst one. Denver Jones was the one guarding Mark Sears. He was the one guarding Dalton Knecht. We had to switch off Aiden. When Aiden got on Mark Sears went right at him and scored every time. You can go back and watch all 80 minutes of Auburn versus Alabama this year. When Dalton Knecht got on him, holy crap. Holy crap. This doesn't make sense on the Alabama side for me. Alabama all year needed efficient three-point shooting and defense. That's how they had success in the tournament. That's what got them to the Final Four. is they started playing really hard on the defensive end, and they were really efficient from three. You go out and get a guy like Chris Youngblood, it's perfect. That's perfect. He's 44% shooter from three. He's unbelievable on the defensive end. He's longer. He was the Rylan Griffin replacement. Aiden Holloway's not that guy. He's a 30% three-point shooter. He's not efficient. He hasn't shown it all at all. He didn't show it in high school either. And he's horrible on the defensive end. So it's really hard to see this from both sides. I don't understand it. I mean, there's nothing to do now. You take the player. Hey, at this point, I think if you're Alabama, you start thinking about that as, oh, that's depth. I want Mark Sears to come back, and I want to have somebody behind him who's, you know, not even close to on his level, but we can develop him. That should be your thought process as an Alabama fan. It should not be Aiden's coming in to start, because if that's the case, y'all are in for a rude awakening. I promise.
I don't think that was ever the thought. I think the whole thought has always been developing. And the whole thing is Nate Oates is just taking a risk on someone who it was a McDonald's All-American. He has shown the potential to play. And he thinks that he can develop Aiden Holloway to match the style that Alabama plays. And that's with developing his defense more, because I think there are times that he just blatantly just didn't hustle last season when he was on the court. I think blue collar points has an incentive to play in that. You want to show you're the best on the team. You want to show you how much you care. You're going to go and get blue collar points, and you're going to win the award at the end of the night. But then you go and look at the offensive end. He's a 30% 3-point shooter. Natives can work with that. And most of his misses came off poor shot selection. If he is able to find good shots off screens, if he's able to be a good spot up shooter, I don't think there's any problem. But I'm not going to rely on him like I do Mark Sears to go ahead and just drill around an ISO and pull up on a three. That's not his game. At least not right now. It is not.
You mentioned shot selection. That's going to be huge. I mean, multiple times, I'm just going to point out, for example, when Auburn was playing Kentucky, Auburn made 1-3 in that game. It was a bad game for them. It was their only loss at home this season. Auburn was down by, 13 or 14. Jani Broome scores on four straight possessions, buries a three, and then scores three straight times in the post. The next possession, Aiden jacks a transition three. Like, that's where it has to change. Yeah, that's what has to change, and that's what I think Nate Oates has to focus on the most, that and his defense.
Yeah, I don't think if you're an Alabama fan, you should be expecting Aiden to come in next season and be PG1. It's this unrealistic expectations. He's got to go into the gym and put that work in. He's got to go in like Mark Sears did during his, I believe it was his sophomore and junior seasons, and go shoot those 1,000 three-pointers. Go get that form correct. Go take the right shots. Practice. Because what we saw is Aiden last season, and if those rumors are true, Gray, where he showed up to practice high, Nate Oates does not tolerate that. We saw with Nick Pringle last season when he had some off the court issues and stuff like that. Nate Oates said, "Nick Pringle, you're suspended for what was that, like 2-3 games, something like that?
3 games, yeah."
So Aiden Holloway has got to get in the gym. He's got to work at this. And if he gets Mark Sears to come back and work with Aiden Holloway, I think that's a great thing for his development. And maybe not this year, but the next year he comes in and then he's the PG1. And then he's taking on that Mark Sears type role where he is the focal point of the offense, or he is the initiator on the offensive end of the court. Because as of right now, with Aiden Holloway, what we saw last season, it's not pretty. I mean, y'all harped on his 3-point shooting. His shots at the rim were 35.7%. So he wasn't efficient on that end either. So I think Aiden Holloway has to take a summer and really develop himself, because as of right now, it's not a thing I look at and go, wow, Alabama just got Aiden Holloway, a 5-star out of the portal. He's going to go in and we're going to do really good things with him.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not what anybody really wants to see. Okay, flipping over to Auburn here. You got some football transfers coming in. Hugh Freeze beefing up the defensive line with Indiana transfer Philip Bellitti is how you say his name, I guess. And then USC defensive lineman Isaiah Rakes. What are your thoughts on Hugh Freeze going in the portal and kind of beefing up the interior of that defensive line?
Yeah, exactly what I mentioned about Kalen DeBoer assessing the needs of and needing that kicker, not seeing the progress that he wanted to during spring practice at the kicker position. Hugh Freeze is doing exactly that. He saw that probably the weakest part of our team, and it's weird to say, like, I've always thought the past 5-6 years, the best part of our team's been the Auburn defensive line, with Marcus Harris leaving and the lack of depth that that Auburn defensive line has shown. Hugh Freeze's, desire to go out and get more guys at the depth spots. You know, these aren't guys that are coming in to be the stars. You have those guys, Keldrick Fault, Jason Jones. Those are the guys that you expect to step up. These are the guys that you expect because you've got to have depth at that defensive line in the SEC. You know, but these SEC offensive lines are something else. You've got to have guys that can come in and give these guys rest in and out of plays and still provide, what you need. I think Philip Beliti, I'm not really sure on how to pronounce his name yet, from Indiana. He's more of a defensive end, true defensive end. I expect him to be alongside a guy like Isaiah Rakes. Rakes is more of a nose guard. Jason Jones is listed as the only nose guard on the roster right now outside of Rake. So I think that's a huge pickup for that. And then you could go out and get, tomorrow a guy like, or on Tuesday, go out and get like a guy named Keon Crawford, the edge from Arkansas State. He is really showing that the need was defensive line depth, whether it's at the edge, at the tackles, at the nose guards, at any of those positions. He needed help, and that's exactly what he attacked right when the transfer portal opened. I think there's promise. I think the only other position that I expect to attack outside of the defense line, I expect we take 5 or 6 transfers, and that being wide receiver. I think they really want a leadership guy at that wide receiver room. I think they've got some of them. We did lose Jay Fair, who I thought was pretty good for us last season. He was our best receiver in terms of yardage, but I don't think he is the direction that the receiver room wants to go. I think they want to go more big guys on the outside. And then and Jay Fair really worked on the outside, really was an outside receiver, and then have those small guys on the inside. So I think Jay Fair is going to go and find a place where he can play on the outside. I know Keandre Lambert-Smith, the Penn State wide receiver, has already visited. I know that they're going to have a few more visit as well. So maybe take 1 or 2 wide receivers. That'll be interesting. But loving the attack on the defensive line depth.
Yeah, moving over to some college basketball here for Auburn, Gray. You had Janiah Broome announce he's coming back for one final season, the last dance for him at Auburn. And then you had guys in Katie Johnson transfer to George Mason, and Trey Donaldson, as you mentioned earlier, transferring out to Michigan. What does it mean to have Broome back to play alongside somebody like JP Biggs?
Man, the last time... it's always fun to say it's like getting a 6-star recruit, having a guy like that back. The last time Auburn had an All-American return from a previous All-American season return was Derrick Brown in 2019. He was an All-American in 2018 on the football team. It was like getting a 6-star recruit. That's what Janiah Broome coming back means to this team. Not only is he going to complete this team, but the offense is going to run through him again. He gets a chance to prove to scouts that maybe he can play the 4, step out, and maybe play more of a face-up game from the top of the key. Improve on his free throw shooting, improve on his 3-point shot, which we saw improve last season, to maybe get some interest from scouts. You could only test the waters one time. And he did the previous season, so it was either go or come back. That's huge to get him back. And then KD transferring to George Mason. I don't really know about that one. That was a little odd to me.
Hey, he's going to be the focal point of their offense, Greg. Give
him a break. He's going to shoot 30 shots a game at George
Mason. Poor
George Mason fans, if those exist. But Trey Donaldson going to Michigan. Super happy for Trey. I love Trey. I wish we could have gotten Trey back. But it sounded like that was an NIL thing. His family was really shopping the NIL, and Dusty May is doing a great job at building that roster through the transfer portal up at Michigan. So excited to see what he's going to do up there. So
yeah, you get Dustin May building a good portal class. You got Todd Golden at Florida doing that. He picked up a couple guys. I think Indiana has the number one overall transfer portal class right now. Rice, and I believe the Stanford transfer. So I mean, these teams are building transfer portal classes really well. Alabama is doing good things outside of Aiden Holloway will remain to be seen, as we mentioned earlier. And they've got guys before that are really good, and they'll come in and be have a day one impact. So you got a lot of people attacking that portal and doing really well doing it. Move on to some NFL draft discussion here, guys. It'll be taking place this Thursday, April 25th at 7 p.m. at Central Time. The draft order, everybody knows it. Number one, the Chicago Bears via the Carolina Panthers. I could sit here for 15 minutes and have a conversation about the Carolina Panthers and how we traded Bryce Young basically for for Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, it's rough. Then you have that followed by the Commanders, the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Chargers being your top five. Guys, sitting here, we don't have 2 hours to sit here and break down the entire first round of the NFL draft. But if you're sitting at those first five picks, what do you think happens there, whether these teams pick at their selection or they trade out and another team comes in and selects the player?
Gray, you want to start or you want me to start?
I guess I'll start. I think there could have a chance. If no trade happens, I think you could have a chance to have four quarterbacks taken in the top five, if not the top four, if Arizona decides to trade out. I think Caleb Williams is one. It sounds like Jaden Daniels and the Commanders they're sitting well at number two. Drake May, I think he's the most NFL ready quarterback going to the Patriots. And then it really just depends on what the Cardinals want to do here. Do they take the best player available and go with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Do they trade out to get more capital? And what do they do? It just depends. I think they should just take Marvin Harrison Jr. And just leave it at that and let the Chargers decide on what they want to do. If they want to, go with JJ McCarthy to get Harbaugh as quarterback. I'm not really sure. But right now I'd probably say, Arizona just sticks at that four spot, takes Marvin Harrison, and then the Chargers either go with like a tackle like Joe Alt or somebody like that. Because I don't think they're ready to give up on Herbert just yet, even though Harbaugh is the coach.
Okay, so I think it's pretty obvious that Caleb Williams will be the first overall pick. I don't think there's any discrepancy in that. For the Commanders, I talked this offseason. They're pretty attached to Jaden McDaniels. They'll take him. And then you get to the Patriots, and they want, what they want and what they need. There's a whole list of what they need. They want to go ahead and take Drake May. I don't think it's a bad decision, but let's go ahead and address some of the other issues for the New England Patriots. The fact that they have zero people to throw the ball to. The fact that their running game was absolute crap last season. Their offensive line is Swiss cheese. So at some point, you got to sit down and identify how you're going to fix it. And if you didn't want to keep throwing first round picks at quarterbacks, then by all means, keep doing it. But can you do something in free agency to help the team out? That is my main question.
Okay. I mean, they did a couple of years ago when they signed like three tight ends. So
yeah, I know that was so helpful. Wow. Let's have a tight end oriented offense. Wide receivers, y'all just go running around out there. Y'all just look pretty. That's about it. I have for the Patriots. For the Cardinals, like you said, Gray, I think it's probably going to be better for them to trade out. But in this scenario, if you can get a guy in Marvin Harrison, then take him. You go ahead and take him. He can be a star. He can be a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL soon with the way he played at Ohio State. If he has the right quarterback alongside him, but we'll see what the Cardinals do. And then for the Chargers, if Marvin Harrison's taking the pick before you, I think you're crushed internally, because that would be a huge target for a guy in Justin Herbert. But with a guy in Austin Eckler leaving, I mean, the running back room is looking pretty thin. So, taking a running back.
But they got Gus the Bus Edwards.
Alex. The only thing is the whole running back class is just absolute garbage.
It's so bad.
It's terrible. So you're going to have to wait. But you think maybe let's get an offensive lineman like Joe All. Let's see what's available on the defensive end. Dallas Turner's available. If you want to go ahead and get a star talent in him, or if you want to go ahead and stick with the wide receiver position, you have Roma Odunze right there. I don't think that's a reach at all. It's not a great spot, especially when your number one guy goes right before you, you're crushed, but that's probably how it's going to go. But like I said, I think the Cardinals probably trade out of that scenario, get a little bit more draft capital and see what they can do from a different scenario. Any team, I think you look at the Giants have been high on JJ McCarthy for some reason. I don't know why. But if they want to go ahead and waste all their draft capital and trade up to the four and get him and do that, then go ahead. Sure.
And then
I'll laugh.
Marvin Harrison falls into the Chargers' lap.
Exactly.
Blows my mind. He's one of the best players that's come out of the draft in a long time, especially at the wide receiver spot. And this wide receiver class is loaded. So if I'm the Cardinals and trading back is an option, even if you still want a wide receiver, you're going to get a pretty good wide receiver because there are tons of them, but this kid is so good. I don't know why you picked JJ McCarthy. Oh my God.
Yeah, let me make my picks here, guys. Obviously, the first pick's going to be Caleb Williams. If the Bears go somewhere else, I would fall out of my
chair.
They're
not the Panthers, Alex.
Number two, the Commanders. I do not think they go Jaden Daniels. His agent has been pretty boisterous on Twitter about his distaste for that franchise and the fact they held like a meeting with four or five quarterbacks. It was weird. I don't think Jaden Daniels fits what Cliff Kingsbury likes to run. You look at a guy like Drake May, who has experience in the air raid scheme. I think Drake May fits more of what Washington wants to do. So I think the Commanders do go Drake May. It's kind of weird because they just moved off Sam Howell, who played at UNC, and then you moved to Drake May, who also did. But I think Drake May fits their scheme much better than a guy like Jaden Daniels. Then at three with the Patriots, I don't think the Patriots go Jaden Daniels. I believe there was some rumors out there that he doesn't want to play in a cold weather climate. And New England obviously is not a warm weather state. And I don't think they would want to draft him. He's not going to be content there. And I don't think you're going to go out and say, hey, the Patriots are going to get JJ McCarthy after he just went off Mac Jones. Very similar type players coming into the draft. And I know Mac Jones was much more polished as a passer, but they were both highly efficient passers. A lot of people say, hey, Mac Jones, JJ McCarthy weren't the best players on their team, sort of overrated going into the draft. So I don't think the Patriots do the same thing and shoot themselves in the foot, go JJ McCarthy. So I think this is a prime spot for them to go ahead and trade out. And I know their asking price has been, I believe, 3 first round picks or something like that. I believe it'll probably lower around draft time. They may get like two firsts and a couple seconds or something like that. Some variety there. And I think they trade this pick to the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Raiders go in and they draft Jaden Daniels. There's been a lot of connection to Daniels and the Raiders, and for them to get him to throw the football to a guy like Davante Adams and another guy like Jacoby Myers would be huge to sort of jumpstart that team. Because they've really invested this offseason in getting players to contend next season, contend air quotes around that. And if they can get a quarterback like Jaden Daniels to replace Jimmy G and Aiden O'Connell, I mean, you can't get a bigger improvement than that. Then at 4, the Arizona Cardinals, y'all said you can see them trading out. I think it's a high possibility, but they did that last season to the Houston Texans, and the Texans ended up getting CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, who played like the best two rookies last season. I believe both of them won the Rookie of the Year awards for sides of the football. So I don't think the Arizona Cardinals with Marvin Harrison Jr. sitting here go, you know what, let me trade out again and miss out on a generational receiver like they did in a generational edge rusher like Will Anderson. So I think they take Marvin Harrison Jr. to give Kyler Murray a weapon because he has zero. I believe their number one receiver for next season is Michael Wilson. I think that says it all right there. Got to give Kyler Murray something to work with, considering he invested a ton of money into him. And then at 5 for the Chargers, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is off the board, they could say, hey, we're going to go draft Odunze or Neighbors here. But you went ahead and drafted Quentin Johnson last year at the receiver position. No, he did not look very pretty when he played. but and you lose Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, you get rid of those guys, and this is a prime position to go get a receiver. But this receiving class is probably the deepest it's been since 2021. So I don't think the Chargers go out and say, hey, let me waste a top five pick on a receiver when in the second or third round I can get a guy that can come in and do some good things. I think they get Joe Alt at tackle. You just think about Joe Alt, him at tackle, and then the drop-off from him to the next guy, I think is much deeper than the drop-off between the guys of Odunze and Neighbors to, let's say, Brian Thomas or Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell, whoever you say is in that next grouping. Yeah. So I think you go ahead and get a tackle to protect Justin Herbert, because as you saw last season, he has zero. I do not see Jim Harbaugh, the way he runs his offense and the way he is sort of centric around building the offensive line and then putting pieces around that. He did it at Michigan. He did it at San Francisco. He's going to do it here in Los Angeles. So I think getting Joe Alt sort of jumpstart the offensive line, rebuild, retooling, whatever you want to say, and put him alongside a guy like Rashawn Slater on both sides of the line is going to be good things to protect Herbert and build that running game up like Jim Harbaugh likes to do. Nathan, the Saints have the 14th pick. They have some they have some interesting draft picks these past couple of years. Peyton Turner comes to mind, Trevor Penning. I'm not saying the Panthers are any better because we have our share of mess ups. But who do you want the Saints to take at the 14th pick, or do you prefer they trade out?
No, I think we need to stay there. And we need to be smart here. We don't need a receiver. We are good at the receiver position for the most part. You got Chris Olave. If you want a receiver really bad, then you can go get one at a later pick. Here, we need to rely on defense. Our defense, our secondary, for the most part, was absolute crap. We could not cover the deep ball at all last year. And it's one of the reasons we lost against the Jags and missed the playoffs because of it. So I'm pretty done with that. I think if a guy like Terrion Arnold is there, then you get him. But then if a guy like Jared Verse is still on the board, you gotta be.
Even though you've drafted edge rushers like the past 5 years,
you should never have too many edge rushers. Just put the whole team, the whole defense out there, just edge rushers. They're versatile enough. But if I'm being honest, Terrion Arnold, if he's still on the board, if we can improve our secondary, then we need to go ahead and do that. I look at the cornerback position, and it's pretty decent this year for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm pretty surprised right now because Quinnen Mitchell is listed over Terrion Arnold and on the ESPN. I think the clear cut guy is Terrion Arnold based on what he did last year.
Crazy to say.
I know. We didn't think he was going to be there. But then you also got guys like Cooper DeJean in there, Nate Williams, and then Kool-Aid, who everyone thought was the clear cut number one going into the season. And
top 10 pick.
It's like just set back. And then you still got guys like Kamari Lassiter, who have shown potential while they were in college. So it's a pretty good cornerback draft class. But if I'm going and I'm looking at the guy you should take, I think Terrion Arnold would fit the system perfectly on the defensive end. And then later on, whatever other pick we want to use up to get a wide receiver, like you said, Alex, there's no point in going and wasting one right now when you could have a perfectly fine wide receiver at a later date. So we'll see, but I'm sure the Saints will manage to mess up a pick yet again.
If I was the Saints, I would take an offensive tackle or some sort of offensive line help, considering Trevor Penning hasn't worked out. Ryan Ramczyk might not play football again with his injury. You need to protect Derek Carr or whoever your future quarterback is there in New Orleans. So I would much rather.
There's no easy solutions, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the New England Patriots. There's more issues than there is not issues on this team. And that's crazy considering their cap space is non-existent. It's like they just threw their money at whatever person they could get to take it.
Yeah. So, well, you know, we're just pushing back contracts, and we're going to have to pay someone eventually. And I don't know what we're doing. I wish we would just go ahead and enter the rebuild and go ahead and suffer so I can get this out of the way. But no, we continue to do this. And we think, oh, wow, we're going to go make the playoffs and actually compete for a Super Bowl. No, you're not, because you had Derek Carr at quarterback and your offensive line is basically a bunch of toothpicks. They can't even stay healthy for half the season. And then I look at the draft class for the offensive tackle position this year, and it's like, by the time it's our pick, we're not going to be able to get anyone near as good as what we need them to be. So it's like, it's useless to go and take one and then just not be able to do anything with them. It's awful. It's an awful situation. I can sit here all day and talk about how the Saints have completely messed up my life.
Yeah, it's a rough scene, but I think if somebody like Olufoshanu falls to y'all, I think that's a big pickup just with how versatile he is and how good he played at Penn State. Great, flipping over to the Carolina Panthers.
No.
They don't have their first round pick. Whenever when we started this segment here, the Chicago Bears do. It's the number one overall pick. It's Caleb Williams. What do the Panthers do with that first pick in the second round? Do they trade up, use it to trade up? Do they draft there? If they draft there, who do they pick?
No, because I think you do need to go get playmakers. And as deep as this wide receiver class is, I think you rely on guys falling to you and having your pick to start, having your pick to start on Friday. Just needs everywhere outside of quarterback.
And offensive
line. You can make an argument for a need at any position outside of probably offensive guard. You can make an argument for every single position outside of Bryce Young's. I think you've got to go get him playmakers. You really went out in free agency and tried to get him protection. I think what the offensive line gets, like Robert Hunt and those guys. I think you've got to go get him playmakers. You know, he never played with DJ Moore, never played with Christian McCaffrey. Poor guy. Struggling. Really, really struggling. Go out and get him a playmaker, especially at that 33 spot. Go out and get a Keon Coleman or Xavier Leggett or Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell or somebody like that. Somebody who can come in and maybe not be your immediate wide receiver one, like a Marvin Harrison Jr. would be if we would have actually kept our first round pick. But go out and get a guy to help Bryce Young and go out and get playmakers and use your draft capital that you do have with two of the top seven picks in the second round and offense has got to be better.
See, my thinking as a Panthers fan is, hey, we got Jonathan Mingo last season, but we need to address it once again with our first pick. Well, Jonathan Mingo did not pan out last season. There's a whole viral clip of him running the wrong direction to catch a football. So, I mean, there's that. You have Terrence Marshall before that, who I don't know where the dude's been. He's non-existent. I don't want to blame him entirely because he's gone through like 15 different head coaches in his time in Carolina. And I just think, hey, we went out and got Deontay Johnson. Adam Thielen looks serviceable last season. Jonathan Mingo, maybe he develops under the new coaching staff. We saw what Dave Canales did down in Tampa Bay. And I sit here and I say, you know what? We got the offensive line. It's going to be okay for now. There's no point in us going out and drafting somebody again to replace Akeem O'Connor, who wasted a first-round pick on. Let's beef up the defense, who we just lost Brian Burns off of. Yeah. If there's an edge that falls to us, let's say Chris Braswell, something like that, maybe we go get him. Maybe we go address another linebacker. Maybe if Peyton Wilson's there or Edger and Cooper, both those guys have been rumored to go to the Panthers. I think you jump to get one of those guys. But if I'm the Panthers and let's say Kool-Aid McKinstry falls out of the first round, because there is mock drafts where they have him out of the first round. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
No doubt.
I mean, I don't even think. I'd go, okay, Kool-Aid McKinstry. That's what's on the card. That's what we're calling because J.C. Horn can't stay healthy. And the rest of the cornerback room, forget it.
It's terrible.
Forget it. So I think if Kool-Aid McKinstry is there, that'd be the pick if I was the Panthers. I don't even care if I don't care who else is there. And if he's not there, and if somehow A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy or Xavier Leggett fall to them, I think that's the next pick, even though I kind of went on a rant about giving Jonathan Mingo a chance. I think those guys are can't-miss prospects and give the team a vertical threat that they very much need because Johnson and Thielen are nowhere near the vertical threat that Bryce Young really looks for. I mean, we saw what he did with Jameson Williams at Alabama. So I think if you can get him a vertical threat, then that's when you take the pick. But if those guys aren't there at 33, I don't want to go get Ladd McConkey. I wouldn't be on the show the next week if we got Ladd McConkey at 33.
Me
either.
Alex, you remember when y'all could have had Pat Surtain over JC Horn?
Nathan, when we drafted JC Horn, It was comparable to when we drafted DJ Moore over Calvin Ridley, and I walked out of the room and didn't turn the draft back on for the rest of the night.
That was one of my favorite things.
Because it's like, okay,
this day.
It's not like Patrick Surtain was some project, or we were like, oh my god, we're Alabama homers or something like that. It was you go J.C. Horn over Patrick Surtain. What?
Just reliving trauma as we speak.
I'm getting flashbacks.
I could be buying a Pat Surtain or a PS2 jersey.
Exactly.
I could be buying a number 18 jersey and say Harrison Jr. on the back, but no.
Could have
front office.
Could have Caleb Williams. They could have drafted Will Anderson or something last season, or gotten Jalen Carter, but no. We decided, not saying Bryce Hook's a bad player, but it's like,
no, Bryce, I'm excited about Bryce. Bryce showed true promise last year on a team that he should not have shown promise on. His move from Alabama to the Panthers, it was a complete drop off in other talent around it.
Kind of like Mac Jones.
Complete. Especially like on the offensive end.
Mac Jones is a great story. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Mac Jones.
Well, both of them had put into terrible circumstances. It was like, I think the Panthers, the owner was too impatient, and I get it because we went through a carousel of quarterbacks, but you had to look and say, okay, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson. Next draft, Caleb Williams and Drake May. And I know Drake May didn't have a great season, but it's like the draft classes, I think you go from Caleb Williams. It's like, okay, let's wait for Caleb Williams, because if you look at the roster now, we're not going to win anything next year. There's no doubt. But we rush it. You cannot rush a rebuild. I look at the Atlanta Hawks. Cannot rush a rebuild. Carolina Panthers. Cannot rush a rebuild. Please, you got to be patient with these things. You look OKC Thunder. Patient with the rebuild, and look where they're at.
Yeah, we're having a good time.
I can't relate in any sport professionally.
Okay. Y'all can continue to suffer.
The Hornets are in a 40-year rebuild. There's no rushing at all.
Well, the Hornets are a different story because the Hornets don't know how to draft players besides Brandon Miller.
Oh, we knew how to draft him, but we would just trade him away immediately.
Like, and also the coach.
Man, Kobe Bryant, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Let's get out of here before we go on a rant for another 45 minutes about how depressed me and Gray are about our professional sports teams, because that could be a whole different show. All right, that's all the time you have for today. Thank you for listening and watching, Students of the Game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.